This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, You're in Good Hands with Jesus.
Up in your life. Liars! How many of you have done everything right in your life? Raise your hand. It's Brooklyn, be careful. Well, we all do, and the scripture is replete with accounts of those who have gone before us. Great men and women of the Bible have messed up their lives, have found themselves in situations where they've lost opportunities to share the love of God and the power of God and the truth of God. And so it was not too long ago that we know the story of King David. But before King David was king, he was a little boy. And he was the little boy who fought the giant. And we all kind of know that story. The 10-foot giant knocks him down with a stone inside of his slingshot. What we don't know is the rest of the story. And the rest of the story is that after he killed the giant, King Saul, who was in power at the time, was really, really ticked off at him and wanted to have David killed. This young squirt is now being heralded by my people as a great warrior, and he's nothing but a little kid. And so he sent out the word that David should be found and David should be killed. And when David got word of this, he fled. He ran out of town, and he tried to figure out what it was that he could do to save himself from being killed, and he decided to go to the city of Israel's enemy, the city of Gath. And he decides to go there, and he decides to hide out. Small problem. As soon as people started seeing this little guy come into town, they all knew him. They knew that this was the one that killed the giant. And immediately, he was arrested. And he appeared before the king. And he said, well, now what am I going to do? And he got a brilliant idea. He knew something about Gath, and he knew that if he could pretend that he was insane, they would let him go. And so that's what he did. He decided that he was going to make himself really look like he was out of his mind. And guess what? It worked. He was taken to the gates of the city and thrown out. After a while, David began to realize what he had done. He had taken matters into his own hands and denied the God whom he trusted to slay the giant to get him out of this mess. But over and above that, he did something else. He stole glory from God. Because people were no longer saying, look what God did through David. They were saying the reason he was able to stand up against the giant was because he was nuts to begin with. And only a nut would have faced that giant. And so instead of being a man who trusted in God, he was a man who was just out of his head and did a stupid act, which happened to work. So David, in remorse, writes a psalm, and that will be the subject of our message this morning. Psalms 34. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read it up here together. Psalm 34. David's response to screwing up. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and deliver them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust him shall be desolate. Thank you. You may be seated. The first 11 verses of this psalm are really a praise psalm. The next 11 verses of this psalm are a sermon, and that's what I'd like to preach to you. Verse 11, he says, come children, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you to revere and trust and love God. But this is a psalm written in response to David's having done the wrong thing, taking matters into his own hands rather than trusting God. How can we learn from him? He's flawed. If we're waiting for God to call a man who isn't flawed, a man without flaws to speak for him, we will never hear from anybody. Nobody is without flaws. The authority of the speaker is God's word. The anointing of the speaker is the Holy Spirit. I can't stand here before you and say, I am he without sin. I never made a mistake. I never did the wrong thing. No. I stand here just like every one of us in this room today, flawed, a person of sin, saved by Jesus Christ. David begins verse 11 with two words, I will. Praising God in your life and with your words is a daily act of your will in submission to the Holy Spirit. You must do something. If you want to praise the Lord, praise him. Don't wait for something to happen. Just open up your mouth. In tough times, it's going to take an act of the will and a step of faith to praise God. In good times, it's going to take an act of will to praise God and an act of will to push past the temptation to allow your ego to say, you're here because you did it. I doubt it. Verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Life experience is going to prove God's sovereignty, that he is in control. Romans 8:28. Many of you know this already. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you love God? He loves you. You are called by him according to his purpose. He's got a reason for you to be breathing. What is it? To learn from our experiences. Life experience is going to burst some bubbles. Life experience is going to crush some expectations. Life experience is going to create some new realities. And life experience is going to see some dreams die. And life experience is going to push you to your limit. Have you been there? Have you experienced that? Have you been under so far that you felt like you were crushed, that you were never going to be able to raise your head up again? That this is a situation that was so far beyond your ability to deal with it, that this was a life changer from which you would never recover. Every person in this room probably has experienced something like that. But can I say something to you this morning? You made it. You're here. Good morning.
Buongiorno.
You could say that too. Another thing that life's experience is going to prove to you beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the only one you can fully trust who will never, ever let you down is Jesus Christ. Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. But some folks won't look up until they are flat on their back. That's the human experience. That's the reality. I mean, David writes this psalm after he messed up. It always seems after that we learn these lessons. Listen to the writer of Les Miserables, Victor Hugo. Have courage for the great sorrows of life and patience for the small ones. And when you have laboriously accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace. God is awake, watching over you. And then Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, writes this. Trust in yourself and you are doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you may have it taken away from you. Thank you, IRS. He didn't say that. I did. Trust in reputation and some slanderous tongues will blast it. But trust in God and you are never confounded in time or in eternity. And the evangelist and the lady who survived the Holocaust, Corrie ten Boom, writes this. I have held many things in my hands and I've lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, I still possess. It's still mine. You still have your salvation. You are still forgiven. The blood still cleanses sin. Jesus is still on the throne. There is life after death. We have escaped the fires of hell. We can look forward to the paradise and the beauty of heaven. We can look forward to everlasting life. It's not a gravesite. It's not a tomb. It's not a headstone. It's heaven. Heaven. Life can be fraught with disappointment, but David writes, when as a believer you've tasted life's bitterest fruit, your palate is now ready for God's sweetest truth. The hymn writer Louisa Stead writes this, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Psalm 34 is replete with God's promises to the believer who is trusting in him. I'd like to share a dozen of those which you just read. Number one comes from verse 15. God is watching over you. Do you have that sense of his presence? He's watching over you. He's seeing what you do. His eye is never off you and me. He goes all the places that we shouldn't be. He's in all the places that we should be. He sees you. You're never alone. When you're grieving by yourself, when you're fearful by yourself, when you're in your bed and you think there's nobody else and the darkness has enclosed you, God's there. Verse 4, he hears your prayer and sees your tears. Verse 4 again, he will get you through all your troubled times, David writes. In verse 5, he will free you from the guilt of past confessed sin. You no longer have to live with the guilt of the past, the things that happened a year ago, the things that happened 10 years ago, the things that happened in your childhood. You're free. 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 Verse 18, he will be near the brokenhearted and lift up the contrite heart. 21, he will not allow evil to go unpunished in a world where it seems that the powerful and the wealthy never seem to be accountable for the things they do wrong. Every one of us will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of our lives. Verse 9, he will meet your spiritual, physical, emotional, and social needs. Verse 16, he will give peace to those who seek peace. Call upon the name of the Lord. Verse 18, he will free those who struggle with bondage, anxiety, worry, fear, anger, and the whole list and litany of things that can take and imprison us and put us into bondage. He will free us from all of those things. Verse 14, he will bless those who do good. In verse 13, he will help those who work at controlling their speech to avoid damaging, hurtful, and negative words. Words do matter, and words can help, and words can hurt, and words can destroy, and words can lift up. We need to get hold of our tongue, especially in a day like this in 2017. In verse 22, he promises life's blows may knock us down, but they will never destroy us. They will never keep us down. God's promises are like the stars. The darker the night, the brighter they shine. When you think you're through the darkness, you can look up and see that God is watching over you. But then we get into trouble. You know what happens? Our minds. I remember all those promises that I read in the Bible. I think I might even remember 10% of what that pastor said on Sunday. I got one of them. But then our mind starts to churn, and we start to think, and we start to rationalize, and we start to mull it over, and we start to find all the reasons why it can't be, and all the reasons why it won't be. And so our thinking says, this is impossible. And then God's promise comes up. With God, all things are possible. What a contrast. Our thinking says, nobody really loves me. And God says, I love you. I love you unconditionally. I don't care what you did in the past. You confessed it, it's gone. Separated as far as the east is from the west. I'll never remember it anymore. You brought it before me. The blood of Jesus Christ washed it away. You're not accountable to it anymore. He paid the price. Our thinking, I can't go on. God's promise, my grace is sufficient for you. I will meet your need today. You have enough of whatever it takes for God to give you to get through today. Forget tomorrow. You have enough of whatever it will take to get through this day, and God will take care of tomorrow. My thinking, I am not able. God's promise, I am able. Our thinking, I can't forgive myself. God's promise, I have forgiven you. My thinking, I can't manage. God's promise, I will supply all your needs. Our thinking, I don't have enough faith. God's promise, I've given everyone a measure of faith. Go to the bank, fill out a withdrawal slip, and claim the promise. Our thinking, I'm all alone. God's promise, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're mine. I paid the price to make you my child. And you can't out-son, and you can't out-daughter yourself. You're mine. I'll never, ever let you go. So when things get rough, remember these words. You can tackle life's promises by trusting God's promises. Tackle life's problems by trusting God's promises. Remember that today as you walk out this place. Let's pray. And Father, this morning, help us to recognize that we're in good hands with Jesus. That you're the one that's holding us up and will never let us go. Help us remember that you will take care of us. Help us to remember that we have a responsibility in that promise to do what we can to submit to your Holy Spirit, to submit to your word, to withdraw your promises out of the bank, and to believe what you've written in your word, and not just to believe, but to act on your promises and claim them for ourselves today. And remember that we have whatever it takes given to us by you to get through today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn, God Will Take Care of You.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.